anywhere to get closer to you. So I thank you that you've brought him to us, Lord, and he'll share what you've been speaking to him about. Bless him, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Bless you. Thank you, Julie. Hello, everybody. We have an issue of clarification required at the start. I thought that was an obvious picture up there. But if you can't see, this is a man who has a person dressed in white wanting to speak into his ear and a person in black wanting to speak into his ear. This is temptation, because we're looking at resisting temptation today. That is not an unsightly growth or an oozing of some pus black pussy type stuff out of his ear. It's a devil whispering in his ear, go on, do it, you know you want to. It's that kind of thing. So we are looking at temptation and the challenges that we face. And the question we ask, first of all, is why resist temptation? And I think a verse which really captures the essence is this. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And if you just remember that verse and take that into your hearts and live with that, that in itself will be a major victory. But we have a race to run, don't we? God wants us to race. He wants us to run the race as if to win. That's individually, and that is as a church. We want to build a church where God is loved and honored more than ever before. A family of people who love one another and live life together. And a church that is reaching out into all sorts of people groups in our area. We want that as a church and as an individual. We want to be the best that God wants us to be, the best that we could be. You probably have in your mind. I have in my mind an image of who God could make me. He can do immeasurably more than I can ask or imagine. We can ask or imagine. But I have an image and I want to become as close to that person as I can through the grace of God. I want to run that race. I don't want to stop. But you know, sometimes when we're looking at a race, there's things that hinder us. I thought when I became a Christian that this was going to be a few laps of the track. Yeah, I used to do that as a child, actually. I know it's hard when you look at me now and you think, never. But actually, I used to be an athlete in my youth. And I used to love running. It was natural to me, and I would run for hours every day. But, you know, I thought I was doing a few laps of the track when I joined the Christian church, when I had faith in Jesus. Then he said, oh, I forgot to tell you, it's hurdles. So there I was, oh, I'm going to run, I love running, brings life to my body. And then it was, every few steps there's another hurdle to jump. So we get tempted by things. We have obstacles to overcome, don't we? So let's have a look at temptation and say, what is temptation? Well, firstly, temptation is a thought or a desire to do something that doesn't honor God. A temptation can also be thought of as a trial. And those words are easily interchangeable. So anything we may think about that we want to do that doesn't really honor God and all that he has for us. It's worth saying that a temptation is a common experience that we all have. We all face temptations. And all the temptations which you face and that I face, many of us face, not all the same ones for everybody, but because I used to do the CAP work and I talked to a lot of broken people, and many of them were very open and very honest, and most of us feel when we're facing difficulties that we're the only one and that no one else has ever faced this before. And yet the reality of it is that many of us face the same difficulties. We are not alone in this. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. We're not alone. Many others have battled with exactly those same things. God is not surprised. Again, people have said to me in the past, you know, oh, you'll be shocked at this. And it's never shocking. It's never shocking because I've faced that. I've faced that, yeah. Lots of people have faced that. It's not, you know, God is definitely not surprised. We know, of course, that Jesus himself was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days with all those different temptations that he faced. And the writer goes further, saying in Hebrews 4:15, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin." He knows. He understands. And when we look, as we talk more about temptation, we'll understand why he understands and how these things are so common to us. But you know, a temptation is also an opportunity, isn't it? When we're tempted, there's an opportunity to make a choice. Choice is the greatest power that God has given us. When he created us, the one thing we have that we are completely sovereign over, that we have total dominion over, is our own free will and our own choices. We choose. And so when we face a temptation, think of it this way. You are facing an opportunity to go to the left or to the right, to deviate off, to go straight ahead, however you want to see it. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to show that you can make the right choice. And a temptation is also not a sin. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's not a sin to have a thought come into your mind that suggests to you that this would be a good course of action. The only sin is making the wrong choice, deliberately and consciously making the wrong choice. Do not let your mind condemn you. We are not failures because we are tempted. Not every thought that comes into our heads is our own. And we don't need to accept it or go along with you. There is stuff that comes from us. Yeah, there is stuff that comes from us. There's good stuff that comes from God through the Holy Spirit. He puts thoughts in our head. He whispers to us. The picture's gone now. You know the little thing in white? I mean, that's, I know it's doing angels and demons. But the Holy Spirit also whispers. I'm grateful for that. You wouldn't want to see me if I didn't have the restraining grace of the Holy Spirit pointing out to me what the right choices are on many occasions. We have that. But there's also a voice from the dark side. Yeah, sometimes that's delivered through people. Sometimes that's just goes straight into our head. And again, when I've spoken to a lot of people, and one of the things I've repeatedly said to people when they're facing anxiety, stress, and the temptations that might come out of that, you're allowed to say no. You can say no. You get these people, don't you? I mean, people who have really gone into a very dark and difficult place. Yeah, well, it was there was a voice in my head telling me to kill them all, that sort of thing, you know. And you think, well, why didn't you say no? Yeah? Why didn't you say no? I mean, we've all faced temptations, perhaps not to go out and kill loads of people, but we've faced temptations, haven't we, where things have come into our head and we've... You may have done this. I suspect I'm the only one that ever faces these, but I am told that it's common to all of us, so I'll believe it's common to all of us, where somebody does something and you want revenge. Yeah? You just want revenge because you're a nice Christian. You hope that God will somehow arrange it so you don't have to do it and be guilty. Oh, it wasn't my fault we had an accident. What a shame. That kind of thing. Ever been there? Let's be honest. We all fall short of the glory of God on so many occasions. But that voice, you don't have to entertain it. You don't have to entertain the thought. You don't have to hold it in there. You can say, no, that is not of God. I do not want that. I reject that thought. I resist that thought. Let it flee from me. And that's certainly something we can do. Now, a temptation is usually about short-term benefit and long-term harm. That's why it's so hard, because this defines what how temptation works. This is why it's so hard to resist temptation. We give in to it because of the short-term pleasure it gives us in our bodies, in our minds. But those things which God tells us he doesn't want us involved in do us long-term damage. The biggest damage they do is they separate us from him. They take us away from him. The temptation is to walk away from God. That's always the temptation, to doubt God, to walk away. Because God is always saying, come to me. Come closer. Come to where I am. Come and join me. Be with me. Give me your heart and I will give you mine. That is what God is always saying. So temptation always tells us, hey, it's quite nice over there. God is there. It's quite nice over there. Why don't we go over there and have a look over there? So the temptation is always to take us away. So the short-term benefit of what is here, the long-term harm of walking away from God. You know those glazed, creamy donuts? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they call your name. They are so kind, those glazed, creamy donuts. Gary, I want to satisfy you in ways you've never been satisfied before. And there's a little voice in the other ear. And it says, a moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips. Which I resent, because that's a word for the ladies. So for men, it's for men. There is a male one. I made up a male one. I was fed up with Weight Watchers using female terms when I was under their leadership for quite a while. The moment you say yummy, it ends up on your tummy. Okay, so that's the man version. Watch out for those glazed cream donuts. The good things of God that we want, though, are the other way around, aren't they? The eternal benefits are there, but they often require hard work or sacrifice in the short term. God says, will you come this way? Will you come to me? He lives on a mountain, doesn't he? Who can ascend the Mount of God? Why did God make it so hard? Why do I have to ascend the Mount of God? Why couldn't I skip down to the Valley of God? Yeah, that would have been nicer. It would have been nicer if it was easier. But no, he says it's short term. I need you to put the energy and the effort in to come up to me. Come up to me. The benefits are tremendous, though. The closer we get to God, the more the benefits are there. Do you know what I want? I want something which is short term benefit and long term gain. That works for me. Does that work for you as well? Short term benefit, long term gain. And I thought, actually, there is. Worship. Yeah? Worship is short-term benefit and long-term gain. You get close to God. You feel good. You take your eyes off yourself. You look to the one who loves you. You get short-term benefit and long-term gain. He cleanses you. He heals you. He restores you. He transforms you. Your life becomes changed. Prayer, Bible reading, anything that encounters you with God is short-term benefit and long-term gain. You get the best of both. As is always the case with God, we get the best of both. So where does temptation come from? Well, it doesn't come from God. He tempts no one. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. You know, God may allow us to go through difficult circumstances. He may allow that, but he isn't trying to trip us up. I don't think anybody in this room probably struggles with that thought, but some people do. God is not continually testing us, setting traps, trying to see if we fail all the time. He allows us to walk through a difficult world where difficulties, temptations and trials come. And so he does allow that, but he's not trying to trip us up. He's not trying to see if we pass the test or anything like that. He is just calling us to him. Moment by moment, he calls us. So the enemy is the one who brings temptation. We know that Jesus himself was tempted in the wilderness by the enemy. And in Peter, he says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. The enemy does want to trip you up, and the Lord wants us to stand firm and to resist. We don't have to listen to all the thoughts that come into our minds. Life circumstances can bring temptations. We live in a complex and broken world. Bad stuff just happens sometimes, doesn't it? Yeah? Sometimes bad stuff just happens. It's not even the enemy. It's not even other people. But sometimes it's other people. But stuff just happens. Someone cuts you up in the car. Yeah? I've learned to graciously forgive them and go about my business. Shall I let you into a little secret? Yeah? I like to pretend sometimes in my car that it's a Spitfire fighter plane from World War II. And as someone cuts me up and gets in front, I get my hand on the steering wheel. This is my way of dealing with it. Die, scumbag! And in my mind, their car goes boom and explodes and spins out of control and is out of the way. And Gary drives on to victory. Yes. But I try to resist that. It's not a good thing. So don't cut me up, because there behind you will be a man trying to look normal whilst going. Or someone is rude to you in some way. And we have to choose how to respond, don't we? We have to choose how to respond, how to let go sometimes of things. Here's a challenging one. I find this really challenging. James 1:14. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Wow. Each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire. Honesty time. I've got evil desires from time to time in me. Yeah? We all have. Wow. That is hard. I'm not the victim. We're not the victims. We're not the victims sailing through life innocently, just at the victim of everybody else or the enemy or anything like that. God, rescue me from all these people and all this. Well, it's true, we need that sometimes. We're also the ones that cause the problem, because we have this in us. We have this in us when we look to a solution other than God. When we look to solutions other than God, when we try to shortcut what God is doing in our lives, we have that in us. Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me, Lord, for my wicked ways. Forgive me, free me, change me, give me your righteousness, your holiness, your grace, your compassion, and not my own way. And so when we get these things, we're dragged away by our own evil desire. It says, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So you've got to stamp it out when it's small. You've really got to stamp things out when they're small. When the evil desire is there, that's when you submit to God. That's when you confess to God. That's when you bring it up into the light and you ask the Lord to deal with it. If you can acknowledge that in your own heart, then you can deal with it. If you don't acknowledge it as a problem, then how are you going to deal with it? We can't deal with it. You know, it's great. I was thinking about this. If you're a passionate person, passion is really good. But passion also leads to greater temptations. So if you're naturally passionate, then you need to be careful. Our past. Now, I think I put the... Yeah. This is a phrase I came up with. Echoes of the Shadowlands. The question is, have you got a history which has mistakes in it? You don't have to put your hand up. I'll put my hand up. It's probably true of everybody here. We have past, don't we? We've had dark times. I call them the shadowlands. The things that we once fell to. These things can get wired into our brains and they can trigger temptations. And so therefore we have to take care in our lives that we don't put ourselves in situations that trigger temptations. These will be all sorts of things for all sorts of people. But it's like if you've suffered with an alcohol problem, it's probably best advice not to go into pubs. Yeah, that sort of thing. Whatever it is that triggers you, whatever it is that sets you off, whatever it is that tempts you, avoid those situations. Sometimes you have to avoid places, peoples, times, whatever it is. That's fine. If you want to honor God, move away from those things. So when we think about temptation, the thing we all think about is what I call shameful actions. These things. This is what comes to mind. You know, it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. So here they are. Inappropriate sexual activities. That could be in person or online. Alcohol in excess. Drugs. Gambling. Gluttony. Violence. Fighting. Shouting matches. These are what we think of. And these things are shameful. And that's what we think of. And some of us struggle with these sorts of things. And others don't or rarely do. Maybe you have in the past. Maybe you don't at all. And when these things are going on, they make us ashamed. And we want to hide. You remember like Adam in the garden. Where are you, Adam? Says the Lord. Where are you? I was naked and I was ashamed. I'm back here. I'm back here. I want to hide in the shadows. I don't want you to see me because I'm ashamed. What do you think God wanted Adam to do? Come to him. It's actually really liberating to say, God, I've messed up, but here I am. I know you love me. I come to you. I'm sorry. I've made this mistake. It's very liberating. That's a horrible place to be, hiding in the shadows. It is much, much, much better to open up to God, to confess to God. When you hide, there's no solution. The solution is always the presence of God. And when you're hiding back here, you're running away from God. And God says, step forward into the light. Come to me. Why do we think the cross happened? It's to deal with these things. It's to get rid of them. It's to defeat the enemy. It's to set us free. And he says, I want to set you free. Healing comes when we bring things into the light. Now, maybe you can talk to a trusted friend, someone who can counsel you, but certainly with God. Lord, I've screwed up again, but I come back to you. This is something God did in my life, only in the last couple of years. Because when I made mistakes, I tended to do this. This is natural to us as human beings. We tend to do this. We hide. We back off. And I remember God saying to me, why are you backing off? Why are you backing off? Why are you not going to the meetings that you want to go to? Why are you not praying? Why are you not worshipping? The answer is in the presence of God, not in the hiding. Step forward. Step forward. Don't let shame hold you back. Now, I would imagine in church, many, not all of them, there are still problems, but many of those really shameful things we may have dealt with. You know, and as we mature, they mostly fade or they may never have happened. But then we're faced with a more subtle group of temptations. This is for more mature people, okay? Attitudes. Being judgmental. Gossiping, unforgiveness, pride or arrogance, grumbling and complaining, being opinionated, or being materialistic. And we all know these things are a problem, don't we? And I'm going to be completely honest with you. Okay, it's not audience participation. I'll do this. I would say at some point in my life, probably about half of those have been an issue to me. That I've had to deal with. And I'd say there's probably one or two of those that in part I still have to deal with. Yeah. It's tough. We know these are a problem. It's quite easy to actually see these in other people. Have you noticed the number of judgmental people around? Have you noticed all the people that gossip? Have you noticed all the ones that can never forgive? What about those pride, arrogant people? Yeah. And what's it like outside of the church? Yeah. What about those who grumble or complain? Those whose opinion is always right. And those who just want things. Yeah, it's easy to see this in other people, but we readily excuse ourselves. So you're judgmental. Well, I'm not judgmental. I'm just defending proper standards, biblical standards. That's what I'm for. Now, let me just share you an area of concern I have about so-and-so. We'll talk about it so we can pray about it later. Well, I would forgive, but do you know what they did? It's shocking. I believe in myself. God has anointed me. Maybe that's pride. I don't trust you. You don't love me. I'm going to moan about you. Do you know, I've actually read the Bible in great detail. I've asked the Holy Spirit, and I have discerned the truth in all areas and all matters. Maybe I'm just a bit opinionated. I have worked this out. You know, by the way, everybody thinks they're right about everything they believe in. Because you're an idiot if you think you're wrong, aren't you? You are an idiot if you think, well, I believe this. It's completely wrong, but I believe it. That would be stupid. So we come from a start point where we believe everything we believe. We think it's right. But there's a problem. Because we all have slightly different beliefs. So I'm humble enough to realize that even though I think I'm right on every single point I believe, there is a reasonable chance that I'm wrong on some of them. Do you think that's true? Yeah? Even though you think you're right on everything, there is a reasonable chance you're wrong on some of those points. Okay? So it's horrible that, because I can't work out which ones they are. I still think I'm right on everything, but I must be wrong on some of them. So what these things harden our hearts. If we give into the temptation to let these things into our lives, it hardens our hearts. And it dulls our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Do you know that feeling? Do you know that feeling where you harden your heart? You may say, I see it in myself when I'm in a stressful situation where I can feel my heart hardening and I'm putting up barriers. I'm protecting and defending myself. Because this situation is causing me anxiety and pain. And so I harden my heart. Sometimes it's by what I say. Sometimes it's the fact that I don't say anything. Sometimes it's by the fact that I walk away. And I go quiet. Different ways. But I harden my heart. And that's not what God has called us to. He's called us to a gentle heart. And a sensitive heart. And a heart that reaches out relationally. And again, because this seems like a Gary confessional session more than anything else, let's move on to the things that, of course, Gary problems. This is the third level. So we looked at the shameful stuff. We looked at the negative attitudes. But you know what? Distractions. Okay, these are distractions that I've had in my time. Now, there's nothing wrong, I hope, with any of these things. There's nothing wrong. I will read them out to you for those who are straining to get the dirt on me. These are not my, I know you're sad because you were hoping I was going to put up a list of my shameful sins and my really bad attitudes, but I've gone for the distractions because they're okay in themselves. But here it is. Ice hockey. You didn't know I was an ice hockey player, did you? Martial arts. I was a martial arts instructor. Model railways. I've still got loads of model railway stuff at home in various drawers. Fish keeping. I had 7 tanks in my house at one point, one the size of a bath in the bedroom, and it made the floor go like this. It was bending. The floor was about 2 inches lower in the middle because of this fish tank that was so huge. Bonsai trees, I've still got them. Playing chess, watching TV, box sets, particularly zombie movies. That was one of mine. That's sad, isn't it? That's sad. I used to have all these horrible dreams about zombie movies. And by some strange coincidence, when I stopped watching the zombie movies, I stopped having the bad dreams. Isn't that good? Isn't that amazing? I've no idea whether that was linked, but it might have been. And then motorbikes. I've had plenty of motorbikes. I actually got a brand new shiny motorbike in my garage at the moment that I've only had a few days. I'm hoping it's not a distraction, but I'm a serial obsessive hobbyist. And I think I'm better for the most part now. But these and many other things, I actually had a list. I wrote a list once of all the obsessions I'd had, and it amounted to about 50. These are just the highlights. And I get into things, and these things take me away. Can I take the first one, okay? Ice hockey. I was an amateur, not a professional. You know, if you want to think I was a professional and be impressed, that's fine. I don't mind that mistake. But I was just an amateur. But guess what? Because you can't get rink time, you have to train overnight in the middle of the night. So the ice hockey club I played for did all our training sessions and all our matches in the middle of the night on Saturday, 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. So if you want to get into ice hockey and place ice hockey in this area, you have to go out Saturday night at 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. and do an hour or two ice time with all the kit on and hitting the puck around and all that kind of stuff and travel to matches in the middle of the night. That's how you do it as an amateur. Guess what that did to my Sunday mornings? I was hardly in church for a year. I was hardly in church for a year because I wanted to be good at ice hockey. This is about 20 years ago, I think. And no, nearer to 30 years ago now. Ice hockey was a distraction. And one day it suddenly occurred to me, I don't go to church anymore because I'm playing ice hockey every Saturday night and sleeping all Sunday. That was not good for my walk with God. And he managed to whisper in my ear over a period of time and eventually got through to me and said, I'm better than ice hockey. You need to put this distraction down. What are you trying to achieve, Gary? You belong with my people in my house on my day. You need to lay it down. So those are my hobbies. You're probably all thinking, man, that guy is messed up. He's weird. Okay. Now, common distractions. These things are really difficult because all these things are good. I'm not saying they're not good things. They are not God, though. And the risk is that we make idols of them. Okay, the first one, social media. Well, who hasn't been victim to doom scrolling? Man! It's kind of like where you just, for hours and hours, flick through Facebook or TikTok in a while. It's so lovely to know that you have no idea what that is. That's wonderful. But you do it, don't you? And I can do this. I do Facebook shorts, little videos, and they keep feeding you the ones that you liked last time and give you the same stuff again and again and again and again. And I know far too much about certain stupid subjects. Okay. Man, that is hard. And you have to put your phone down and go, no, back away. No. I actually deleted some apps off my phone. Just go, yeah, flick through. No. And suddenly, oh, I'll look at this for a minute. Hour and a half later. Oh, my goodness. Don't show you. But other things. The other things are more to do with life decisions. Your career. When you stand before God, is he going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You spent all your time trying to get higher status in your job or more money. Nothing wrong with a career. There's nothing wrong with doing well in your job. So don't misunderstand me on this. But is that God's calling? What about your houses or your gardens? I know people who spend most of their spare time making their houses spick and span. Nothing wrong with being tidy. I wish I was more tidy. Or your garden, is it perfect? Do you spend all your free time making your house and garden perfect and missing out on the things that God has called you to? Do you love your family? You should love your family. Do you love your family such that it's a reason not to do the things that God is calling you to? Have you made your family more important than God? That would be a challenge for some of us. Okay? Holidays. Some people live for their holidays. They live for going to the nice places. They save up all year and they want to spend their money on really lovely holidays. And without their holiday, they feel their life is pointless. They've made an idol of it. Christmas. We had a problem with that. Christmas got so big in our house. It was incredible. We had a thing called Present Mountain. Okay, we got a lot of kids, so there's going to be a lot of presents. But Present Mountain got so big, it was about twice the size of this desk in our lounge. Okay, and you could use the big boxes to be like bricks, and you build an igloo, and you could build a big, you could build a room in the room, and the kids could crawl in and sit in present, we called it Present Mountain, but it became Present Igloo. You could go and sit in it. And at one point we said, you know what? We've got to stop. This is costing too much. It's costing far too much. Think of a number, and it was about double that. Yeah? Oh my goodness. All retirement. Retirement. Now, this is a thing that's very relevant to me because I'm in my late 50s and retirement by the state is just a few years away. I've seen so many people around my age, Christians, people who were leaders, people who were driving things when we were younger, who have kind of, they've just settled for retirement. It seems their goal is retirement. You know, retirement ends. You retire, it comes to an end, and then we're in eternity. That's my retirement. That should be our retirement. It's what we take into eternity with us. A family member was once talking to me about this sort of thing, and he said, I like what you do working in the community. He said, I wish I could do that. And I said, well, why don't you then? And he said, if I did that, I'd have to give up my current job and I'd lose retirement benefits. That's going to go well down well on Judgment Day, isn't it? Well done, good and faithful servant. You amassed the biggest pot of money you could for yourself in your retirement. Well done, good and faithful servant. Ain't going to go down like that, is it? That's not what God is going to say. God is going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You stewarded what I gave you. You survived, or you coped on a smaller income so that you could give your time to help people and to love people. That would be a better thing to take into eternity. So we don't want these things to dominate our thinking, do we? We face disappointment in our lives if we do. We want kingdom benefits and an exciting ongoing passion for life. Let's not slow down in our faith. Let's have the fire burn in us. Yeah? Let's ask God how we can bless him, not how he can bless us. Quick things. Breaking temptation, things we need to know and do. I'll go through these quickly. You know, all our needs are met by God. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Our material needs, but our emotional needs, our relational needs. If we seek the kingdom of God, God will meet our needs. We don't have to go and meet them ourselves. He is our provider. We need to be focused on Jesus. Do you remember the story of Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10? And Martha was so busy with the jobs, and Mary just wanted to be with Jesus. And Jesus said, Mary has chosen what is better. This is one for you, Mary. Enjoy that verse. Enjoy that. Live in it. Mary has chosen what is better. We have a chance to prove that God is good. As I said at the start, it's an opportunity to say, yes, God has done something in me. Every time we choose Jesus, when we're faced with a temptation, we demonstrate his redemptive work in our lives. It's a delight to honor him. And you know, when you're faced with a temptation or a trial of some sort, you can say, this is either because God has shown me an area in my life that he wants to change me in and take me into further glory in my walk with him, or it's an opportunity to show that he has already done that. Yeah, it's win-win. When you're facing a temptation, either you can demonstrate that God has done something good, or you can actually thank him for revealing to you an area where you need to do some work. We are transformed through grace. His grace is sufficient for us. And we make that choice, don't we? There's a man called Adam who in a garden chose his own will to do his own thing and not do what God had asked him to do. And there was another man, Jesus, the second Adam, who also in a garden said, your will be done, not mine. That's the greatest moment, a demonstration of human free will, when Jesus, the man, said, your will be done, not mine. It's all about discipleship and trust. It tells us we're being trained. It tells us we've been trained. He tells us that he disciplines us because he loves us as children. If you don't love your children, you don't discipline them and you let them run wild. And they become unruly creatures. If you love your children, you discipline them and you point them on the right path as best as you are able. So some quick practical steps. Number one, pre-decide, because you're not as strong as you think. Willpower weakens quickly under pressure. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is just not up to the job. Oscar Wilde said, I can resist everything except temptation. So we need to pre-decide when we're having a regular temptation that we fall into, how we're going to handle it. What are you going to do? You're going to leave the scene? That's one way. You're going to phone a friend? You're going to do something else. We need to know our triggers. Times, places, emotions, people. Plan avoidance strategies. Don't go to the wrong place. Don't fall in with the wrong crowd. Don't watch the wrong thing. Don't make it harder for yourself. Look at yourself. Reflect on who you are and what makes it hard for you, and avoid those things. Don't let your disappointment justify disobedience. Don't take revenge on people by committing sins. I deserve to treat myself because I'm upset. Glazed donut time again. Yeah, I just need to be nice to me. Or I just need to teach you a lesson. See, you can hurt too. Let's be honest. I hope those are just tiny thoughts that we crush all the time and they don't grow into anything. But it is true. So we also need to move the line and stay away from the fire. If you stand very close to the fire, eventually you get burnt. Okay, so you know there's a line that you shouldn't cross in whatever your temptation is. Okay, don't cross the line. Well, sometimes we draw that line so close to the actual temptation or the sin that eventually you just stumble over it, don't you? Draw the line back here. Draw the line back here. Don't go anywhere near it. Do not sniff the donuts. Do not sniff the donuts. Don't even look at the donuts. Do not buy the donuts and put them in your kitchen and say, I can resist. Two for the price of one. It's not a deal. I just buy the donuts. It's a deal. The rest of the family can eat them. They look nice, don't they? You know all the different colours? There's the different delicious creams in the middle. I'll just look at them for a bit. Can't hurt to sniff them, can it? Oh, they smell all sugary and sweet. Well, is licking the same as eating? You know where it's going to end up. You're going to end up being found like this on your sofa. Don't even buy the donuts. Don't even look at them in the shop. Think about the worst case. That's the worst case with the donuts. If you want to deal with something, what's the worst that's going to happen if everybody finds out about it? Oh my goodness. That's a scary one. Think about the worst when you're thinking about that thing. Can you get away with it? You might get away with it. But what if everybody finds out? Plan your escape. What's the way out? Joseph, fine young man, handsome, intelligent, godly character, character I identify with. Oh no, that's arrogance, isn't it? He's there and he's being tempted by Potiphar's wife, an attractive woman. Do you know Joseph knew himself? He knew he was a bloke. He knew what happens in blokes' hearts when tempted. He did the right thing. He didn't say, I will resist. He said, I'm getting out of here. Running away is a good plan when temptation is strong. Run away. When it comes to things like sexual immorality, the Bible says, flee from sexual immorality. Run away. There are other areas where we might need to run away. Don't stand and pretend you can resist. You'll buy the donuts, you'll sniff the donuts, you'll lick the donuts, and then you'll bite the donuts. And then you'll eat the whole packet. Not that I know anyone who that's ever happened to, by the way. This is just a hypothetical story. And the last thing is give it 15 minutes. Do you know when to, this is a whole thing to do with neurotransmitters and the way our brains work. But if you give it 15 minutes, 30 minutes, walk away for 30 minutes, take it out of reach. Walk away. 15 minutes. If you're struggling, usually the temptation will go away. If you really have an urge to do something, go away for a few minutes, even an hour or a day. Go away. It does calm down. It doesn't rage in your soul forever and ever and ever. When it doesn't win, it gives up. Okay? So we can walk away. So finally, very finally, we are running out of time. Okay, I was glad you read this out, Julie. I thought, yeah, Julie read out the same verse I was going to read out. I'll take that as confirmation. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. He's promised us a crown of life. And when we face these trials, when we face these difficulties, when we face these temptations, we can consider it pure joy, because God, through our perseverance, God is maturing us and he is completing us and he is taking us to what he wants us to be and what we want to be ourselves. We need to know that God loves us. This is how we need to respond to him. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. He's building trust, hope and faith. This is a relational journey. He's called us brothers and sisters. Jesus has called us brothers and sisters. And he has called us friends. It's not about your strength. It's not about your willpower. It's about his grace. Let's take these things to the temple. So when we struggle, let's take our temptations to God in our prayer life. Let's be open with him. When the light shines in the darkness will not overcome it. I did struggle a little bit with gossip at one point. Just said too much about my frustrations with other people and my dislike of certain behaviours. And I have found if you pray about people that you don't like for whatever reason and take it to God, God has a different opinion. God doesn't join you in the slagging off. But go ahead, slag off people to God. I don't like so-and-so, they're this, they're that, they're the other. And all God ever seems to want to say is, you know, I love them, I care for them. Yeah, they've got weaknesses. I'm working on theirs like I'm working on yours. I want you to be gracious, I want you to be kind. I want you to have a godly attitude to this person. Don't take revenge, don't be bitter. Don't hold back from forgiveness. Let it go, bless them, love them. Care for them as best you're able. Take it to the temple. And again, that last thought again, which I want to finish on, is it says yet, it should say let, I do apologize. Let your will be done, not mine. Let your will be done, not mine, Lord. Surrender. I choose your way. I don't choose my way. That's really hard. It's really hard to do that. But I choose you to be Lord. I am not Lord, I am not God. Jesus, you are Lord, you are God. I'm trying to meet my needs, but you've promised you will meet my needs. I surrender to you. I give you the sovereignty. I give you the right to say whether I should go to the left or the right. It is your leadership that I follow, not my own. Amen. Bless you all.